Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Busy Cousins Interim Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the speaker presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, 28th of January, 2020. And I would now like to hand the conference over to our first speaker today, Tim Lineker. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the PZ Cousins Investor and Analyst Conference Call for the interim announcement of results for the half year to 30th November 2019. The presentation will be started by Caroline Silver, Chair of PZ Cousins, and I'll now hand over to Caroline.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us for the presentation of our results, as Tim said, for the half year ended 30th of November 2019, and welcome. As you all know, we announced in December that our long-standing CEO, Alex Kanellis, will be retiring from the company at the end of the month. I know that many of you know him well, and I'm sure we all wish him and his family well for the future. As previously indicated, whilst Alex's successor is being appointed, I will take the role of executive chair from the date of his retirement. And so I'm delighted to be here today with Alan Bergen, our interim CFO. And I'm also very pleased to add that the process for appointing Alex's successor is well advanced. And I can't say more than that at this point, but it is well advanced, and as soon as we have more to tell you, we will be back to you. Before I hand over to Alan to discuss our results in detail, let me just say a few words about where we are on strategy, which, as you know, we announced last year. And I'm looking at page 2 of our short slide deck here. So we're pleased to report that progress on our focus brands was stable compared to prior year, despite the challenging market conditions across all our key geographies. As we said, we're targeting our support and investment behind these focus brands specifically, and that will continue in the second half of the year, where we have some important campaigns and initiatives, including those which further our work to support the environment and reduce use of plastics, which we know is important to all our stakeholders. We also took steps to streamline and focus our activities with the disposals of both our food business in Greece and our Polish activities announced. And there will be more to come on that front too. Further reshaping of the portfolio is underway. Initiatives to improve our operating efficiencies are now being implemented at pace. As Alan will discuss, our balance sheet has been further strengthened, and we continue to focus on strong management of our working capital and cash. And our interim dividend has been maintained at 2.67 pence per share. We will, as we usually do, take questions at the end of the presentation. And so now I propose I hand to Alan, who will take us through the results for the first half of the year. Alan.
Thanks very much, Caroline. Good morning, everyone. Please can you turn to slide 3 in the results presentation. For context, the commentary and financials refer to adjusted results of continuing operations on a constant currency basis, unless otherwise noted. Group revenue at 293.3 million declined by 4.3%, mainly due to challenging market conditions in our key geographies in the UK, Australia and Nigeria. As Caroline said, the revenue from our focus brands was more robust, and encouragingly, results were in line with last year. Group adjusted profit at 30.3 million declined by 13%, reflecting the lower revenue in the UK and Australia and reduced operating margin in Asia Pacific and Africa, offsetting a growing margin performance in Europe and the Americas. Adjusted profit before tax declined by 13% compared to last year, driven by those results, offsetting a lower interest charge. Our adjusted EPS fell moderately by 6% to 5.33p, reflecting the operating results, but partially offset by a lower effective tax rate and reduced minority interest. Net debt further declined to 136.2 million from 177.2 million this time last year, further strengthening our balance sheet. Report a profit before tax at 34.7 million increase by 34.5%, reflecting the profit on the sale of our business in Greece and a reduction in exceptional costs. This led to a 55.4% increase in the reported earnings per share at 7.10p. Please now can you turn to slide 4 to the Europe and Americas region. We saw good share growth in the UK for both Imperial Leather and Original Source despite a very competitive environment and became the volume share leader in washing and bathing. UK consumer confidence was clearly affected by Brexit and the general economic and political environment, and this led to continuing consumer uncertainty and some downtrading to private label and hard discounters. As a result, revenue declined by 4.7% to 91.6 million. The downtrading to private label impacted us in Carex, despite strong marketing campaigns. We continue to lead in this category, and in the second half we will see increased emphasis around our environmentally friendly range as well as trade level marketing plans to improve results in this category. Margins in the UK personal care remained reassuredly robust, and we saw only minimal reduction for our brands. In beauty we remain confident, especially in the US, where in the first half we saw a continued increase in sellout at retail, and this is reflected in the share growth for Saint-Tropez in the mass and premium category. Beauty revenue declined against last year, driven by the already mentioned consumer environment in the UK and lower shipments in the US due to the trade stock policy in the first half of the year. As you know, the majority of our sales arise in the second half of the year in the US due to seasonality. The adjusted operating profit of 227 million, a decline of 4.3%, is primarily due to the performance in UK personal care, with beauty largely in line with last year and the region benefiting from the disposal of a non-core brand. Regional operating margin at 24.8% is ahead of last year, reflecting good growth of our margins in beauty and the overall strength of our personal care brands in the UK market. Please now can you turn to slide 5 to our Asia Pacific region. Indonesia continued to deliver strong revenue growth driven by Cousins Baby, with market share also increasing. As you know, Indonesia saw severe flooding in December and our manufacturing site in Jakarta was severely impacted by this. A magnificent response by our employees led to full operational status within 1 week, and initial indications are the costs associated with this disruption will not be material. Revenue declined by 3.8% to 94.2 million and was due to a weakened performance across food and personal care in Australia. Increased promotional activity and pressure on pricing has led to revenue being impacted. Morning Fresh performed better, holding on to its category leadership and growing revenue. Operating profit was 8.2 million, declining by 17.5% due to performance in Australia, increased marketing investment, and higher product costs in the region. This offset a strong performance in Indonesia. For these reasons, operating margin also declined for the first half. Please now can you turn to slide 6 to our final region, Africa. For the first half of the year, we saw revenue down by 4.4%, an improved rate of decline on last year. This result reflected continued pressure on our home and personal care business in Nigeria. We continue to be impacted by contraction in those categories with reduced pricing, heavier promotion costs impacting our mix. Despite a good revenue performance in the electricals business, this resulted in a loss at regional level of 0.6 million. Outside of Nigeria, we saw year-on-year operating profit growth in Kenya, Ghana, and higher income from our joint food business, PZ Wilmar. Please now can you turn to slide 7 to see the continued progress on cash flow and net debt. These interim results continue to see an improvement on cash management. Net debt at 136.2 million improved from the same position last year of 177 million, reflecting our ability to generate strong cash flows the positive proceeds from the disposals, and our efficient approach to CapEx and working capital investment. We continue to have a strong balance sheet with debt at 1.5 times EBITDA, and this continues to be our focus for the business. We expect this ratio to further improve by year end. Finally, for today, please can you now turn to slide 8 for our closing comments and outlook. We expect an improved performance in the second half of the year, assuming no further worsening in the macro conditions. In H2, we expect to return to stability in the UK, primarily due to performance in the hand wash category, supported by a more environmentally friendly range and increased trade support across all our brands. Beauty revenue in the US is forecast to grow, supported by significant marketing investment. We will also see more stability in our results from Australia and Africa, largely driven by improved performance by our focus brands and overhead efficiencies. Assuming these initiatives are successful, we expect full-year revenue and adjusted profit before tax to be modestly below the prior year on a like-for-like basis. We have started to make progress on our new strategy and look to accelerate this in H2 through the performance of on-focus brands, increased marketing investment, additional overhead initiatives, and further refinement of our activities and portfolio. This is the end of the formal presentation. We will now take questions from those on the call.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your questions come from the line of Damien McNeila. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning, Caroline. Good morning, Alan. A couple from me, please. Firstly, just could you give us a little bit more colour on the performance of the focus brands? You sort of stated that they were broadly stable, but I was wondering if you could sort of give us any more indication on whether any particular brands were quite strong or where you thought brands needed to improve. Then in Australia, could you just be slightly more specific on where the issue lies? Is there a particular brand and particular customer that's causing the headache for you there? And then the last one for now would be on palm oil. I think we've seen a very strong increase in the price of palm oil over recent months. I was just wondering whether we should be thinking about that as a headwind to input costs in the UK or whether the opportunity is greater for the business in Nigeria and what you could do there.
Thanks very much, Damien. So I'll have a go at all three questions. So
okay.
First question, just to repeat for the audience, was around the performance of focus brand. Second is a bit more detail on Australia. And then the last question is the impact of palm oil in the UK and also Nigeria. So listen, in dealing with the performance of the focus brand, so overall, you're right, we a stable performance. Some areas that we were sort of very confident over and glad to see was our premium brands in Nigeria. So we saw good growth in Cousins Baby, we saw Morning Fresh, and the electricals continue at a premium level to grow. So that was good news. We're also reassured by the result of Sanctuary in the UK. That was robust, so that was a good performance given the environment. I talked about Original Source, the share growth that helped the number there as well. So they're all mainly the positive areas. In terms of Saint-Tropez, it is seasonality, so we expect to have a greater idea in the second half of the year. If we look at where the areas to improve, definitely Carex, and we've highlighted that, and the loss to private label, and also in our Nigeria business, we've got a relaunch of Premier in the second half of the year to help reduce the reduction in our home and personal care business.
Okay, thank you.
So that's really around the performance of the focus brands. Also, to help the improvement in the second year on the focus brands, we will increase our marketing investment, as we said in the presentation. In Australia, there is a general competition around pricing, high promotions, and it is affecting all categories. As we stated in the answer, we did lose share on Rafferty's Garden, primarily before the relaunch. We've put in the relaunch at the end of the half, so it will have no impact in these numbers. But the areas where we were losing share, we've put in some new products and restaged our current products, so very much a wait and see in Rafferty's Garden. And then also in the personal care, which includes beauty in Australia, we saw a reduction in our hair brand. So we are evaluating that at the moment. But again, that was largely driven by discounting and price competition. Morning Fresh, as I said, did remain strong and grew. So that was good news. In terms of the headwinds from palm oil, in Nigeria, I wouldn't see a significant impact in the short term because PZ Wilmar, which is our associate that sells edible oils, they do import there, so there will be a slight impact on pricing for those rather than the advantage. In the UK, we're roughly hedged this year, so not an issue this year, and we are working on a plan next year to minimise some of the apparent downside, but we usually buy roughly 3 months to 6 months in advance. There are no issues at the moment in either of those markets.
And it might just be actually worth saying that the border closures in Nigeria, if anything, help PZ Wilmar because they stabilise the supply of oil through official channels, and therefore that's not unhelpful despite the overall price dynamics.
Yeah, okay, understood. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Nicola Mallard. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. Just staying on the focus brands, I just wonder whether you could give us an idea as to what percentage of total revenue they account for. And do we assume that anything that you don't count as a focus brand is potentially on the list? Caroline, you said there's more to come in terms of focusing the portfolio. Do we assume that anything that's not counted as focus is perhaps on that that list of pending disposals? And also on marketing investment, you said you're looking to increase marketing expenditure in the second half. Where's the funding coming from that? Because clearly that's an expenditure in terms of P&L, and I just wondered where the balance is. Is it coming from operational savings that are starting to come through? Thank you.
So, Alan, let me take the second of Nicola's questions. Thank you, Nicola, whilst you think about one and three. I think it's not right to think that anything which isn't focused is automatically disposed. I mean, we always keep everything, as any good management team will tell you, under review in terms of value to us, value to others, of course. But I think what we do with the focus brands is we're looking at where we have a right to win and a chance to achieve above average growth, and therefore where we want to prioritize investment. There's then a series of what one might call tail brands is a little bit harsh, but brands which actually contribute to the overall significantly and which we would wish to also keep within the portfolio. So there's and within focus we split them into brands that we're driving, brands for transformation, brands for growth as well, so we can distinguish there. But I think it's fair to say there is more to come, as I said, but not necessarily everything which isn't on the focus page is up for disposal, because it's about creating the right portfolio to have scale and engagement with the customers.
Okay, thank you.
Alan, do you want to talk a little about question one and three?
Sure. So just to recap, what percentage is the focus brand of our total revenue, and how do we support the increased market expenditure in the second half? So thanks very much, Nicola. So focus brands account for around 2/3 of our revenue, so just to understand in terms of that. In terms of the increase for the second half, probably really from three areas. So we do have a little bit of a better mix in the second half for the whole group. So we're expecting some more premium growth, largely in America and some other areas of the business in the second half. But underpinning this also is our overhead initiatives that we've been working on, and then some product cost initiatives that will bear fruit in the second half.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Your next question comes from the line of Matthew Webb. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. Three questions, please. Firstly, will the step up in marketing investment that you're planning for the second half of this year roll into H1 of next year, resulting in another step up? And if so, are you comfortable with consensus expectations for PBT for that year, which I think is sort of up from expectations of around 63 million this year to around 67 next year? That's the first question. And the second, in US beauty, do you expect the negative shipment phasing that you suffered from in H1 to reverse in the second half and provide you with a benefit, or was that just a one-off adjustment to stock levels? And then the third question, in UK washing and bathing, just to make sure I understand this correctly, so there was increased promotional activity in the branded segment, is that right? And yet consumers, despite the presumably better value on offer there, were still trading down to private label. And if so, is that surprising? Thank you very much.
Do you want to take those?
Yeah, brilliant. So just for the call, Matt, thanks very much for dialing in, Matthew. So three questions. The step up in marketing investment, will we see that coming into the following year? Comment on US beauty and the stock, and then the UK washing and bathing and the increase in private label. So first
correct,
of all,
thank you.
The step up in marketing investment, yes, we do see an increase into the following year. We've got some internal targets where we're looking at increasing our marketing spend as a percentage of net sales. We see that increasing in the second half of this year, and we see that increasing in next year as well. So, yes, we continue to see that. In terms of US beauty, Matthew, first of all, it's the base. So this year, more than ever, because of our marketing campaigns in the second half of the year, the first half is around 20% of what we expect in revenue, with 80% in the second half of the year. So really, it is all about the second half of the year, and we see the stock adjustment in the first half as not impacting the story of how we'll do in beauty this year. It really is about the second half of the year. And then finally, in the UK washing and bathing category, what we're seeing is it is mainly a trade issue where people are going to stores like Aldi and Lidl ahead of some of the malts where we're very strong. So it's less about brands, it's more where shoppers are going. What we do know in the second half of the year is we've got much more support from the trade for some of our brands to achieve our numbers.
Thanks very much. Just to follow up on the first of those, I noticed you didn't offer any comment on consensus expectations for next year. Is that would you just prefer not to at this early stage? I'd understand
stages,
that if that was the case.
It's early stages at this point.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from the line of Darren Shirley. Please ask your question.
Yes. Morning, folks. A couple for me, please. First of all, how much confidence do you have that Nigeria will be stable through the second half? I mean, is this signs you're seeing coming through from the sort of broader economy, or is this just confidence in your own actions and support behind the brands? Also on Nigeria, can you give us an update where we are in terms of the port and the access and the cost headwinds that you're suffering from that, and do you have any visibility on when those issues will ease? And then just following up on the last question on health and beauty in the UK, if we're seeing a switch of customers into different retailers, I mean, how can you have confidence that sort of your NPD and your initiatives will gain traction? I mean, when you talk about better visibility, do you think you're getting Does that mean you're getting better margin support to support your plans in the second half without any sales improvement?
Do you want me to talk? I'll start with a little bit about Nigeria and in particular where we are in terms of things like the port for you, Darren. Thank you for the question. So I think, you know, we've no reason to change our view on the macro outlook in Nigeria. And equally, we've no reason to wait around for it to change either. So our focus for the second half of the year is going to be on making sure that we are doing everything under our control that we possibly can to maximize the efficiency, the effectiveness, and the positioning of the business that we've got. And that's through operational efficiencies, that's through real focus on those core brands that Alan talked about, for example, the Premier franchise, which is absolutely critical to our success in Nigeria, and then thinking about what else around that in the tail of the business does or doesn't make sense. So I think the message that we would have around Nigeria is, in a sense, as it's been for the last 100 years plus, the macro is the macro. I can't control that, but we certainly can make sure that we are absolutely on top of our game in our business with the things that are under our control, and that's the focus. On the port charges, I think two things. First of all, that has continued. It continues to be a disruptive and costly business. I think what we're working out at the moment is how much of that is going to become business as usual, you know, how much of it is going to be the ongoing cost that we can't really say is going to completely disappear, and how much of what we've got at the moment remains slightly more one-off and out of the ordinary. And I think we're in a little bit of a transition period where there's some of each, to be honest, and we're figuring out now how much of this going forward we just have to accept as the cost of doing business in and around the Lagos port area. And as, so I would say that, and we'll hope to give you, you know, better steer on that as the second half works out, and then be clearer about what that looks like going forward beyond that. Those would be my comments on Nigeria, and maybe I'll turn to Alan for health and beauty, your health and beauty question in the UK around, you know, whether or not there's an issue with people trading in different, shopping in different places versus where our brand is targeted.
Yeah, so if we look at the UK, traditionally we all know there's been certain retail outlets that have been very strong for us. One of the key things we did last year was to take Sanctuary to wider distribution, and that has helped us in the results. So we do have wider distribution in other big name chains at the moment, and that's all doing actually quite well. The other area is that beauty is kind of at the forefront of our digital movement, and it's growing online and doing very well across Amazon, both in the US and the UK, as well as some other sites. So we're less worried in beauty about traditional outlets, as mainly digital, and also we've increased our scope of the outlets that we serve.
Yeah, I think, Darren, you raise a really good question, and what it means is we need to be pretty nimble on our feet, because frankly we have to get, you know, the parts of our portfolio that sit in those more value-driven outlets into that, which we can do, whilst also not annoying our core customers who like to have what they think is a privileged relationship with us as well. So there's a little bit of agility required around that. And I think we're confident that the NPD for the malt is going to land well. As Alan has pulled out, that Carex second half initiative, also very important for us. So I encourage you all to go and buy that in your supermarket for us. It would be excellent and very environmentally friendly as well. That's an important thing. So there is some fleet of foot and some pleasing both ends of the spectrum there. And as Alan said, then a drive around the appropriate expansion of the accessibility of our core beauty brands. And within that focus brand in Sanctuary especially, a lot of work as we're now out of Boots into refining what is the core of that brand. What are those, you know, Alan said we have
two-thirds of our sales in the focus brands, but within those brands, it's really important to make sure that you dial into what are the individual heroes within those brands. And in Sanctuary, the work is on making sure that we're doing that as well. So there's a kind of slightly layered response to your question from Alan and I.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for your comprehensive answers. Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Matthew Webb. Please ask your question.
Oh, hi. Yes, yeah, sorry. I hope you don't mind the follow-up. I've just got a few more. The first, you've warned that the exceptional charges are going to accelerate in the second half. Can you give any rough quantification of that, and also what proportion of that might be cash? The second question, you said that the profit number in Europe and the Americas benefited from a small profit from the sale of a non-core brand. Would you be able to quantify that, please? And then finally, Caroline, sorry, I think I accidentally talked over you when you were maybe about to make a further comment on consensus expectations for next year. Was there anything you wanted to add to that? Sorry about that. Thank you.
No, Matthew, you said, I guess you don't want to comment, and I said, that's correct, it's early days. And then when you were speaking, I said, you don't read that either way. Course. That
okay.
Was all I said.
Fine. Thank you.
Okay. So, hi, Matthew, again. So, in terms of the exceptional charges, as we talked about, it's about delivering efficiency at pace. We expect to move quicker in the second half of the year over some of our areas. So that's really what the exceptional charge would be about. I won't give any numbers because it'll be tied up with announcements that we need to make at the moment. Once we've got those firm, I'll come back to you with the numbers. In terms of the brand that we sold in Europe, it's not material on a full year basis in terms of the income from that brand. Yeah. So it's minimal.
Got it. Okay. Super. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from the line of Darren Shirley. Please ask your question.
Yeah, I thought I'd just have one more if possible, folks. Your interim dividend, you've maintained that dividend. Are you willing to make any statements around the future of that dividend and any commitments the board may have to that?
That's a very nice try on that question, but the answer to that one is no, not at this point. No further comment.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
Once again, for questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question, comes from the line of Henry Hilgard. Please ask your question.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Just one on the balance sheet. You mentioned you're working on working capital, continuing to work on working capital improvements, and the fact that the net debt position has actually come down quite significantly. I'm just trying to understand what we might expect for the end of the year, and when you say that's the trend is to further improvement, just trying to see whereabouts you're intending to see the number land, really.
Okay. Hi, Henry, and thanks for the question. So, yes, you're right. In terms of the focus, it's obviously we have some disposals due in by the end of the year, so that will help. But mainly our focus is on working capital in terms of getting the money in from our debtors, bringing our stocks down, and then having the right efficient investment in CapEx. In terms of where we're looking at by the end of the year, somewhere around 110 million. So in terms of where we are in terms of net debt, and then the following year we'd see a reduction on that as well.
Thank you very much.
If there are no more questions, then that's excellent. Thank you all very, very much for joining us. We look forward to engaging with you and updating you as events unfold over the next half year and beyond.
Thank you very much.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect. Speakers, please stand by.